Welcome back. You're here with Dave and Faisal on 770 CHQR and More Than Money. Faisal, we talk, it is a new year for sure, but this idea of aging isn't anything new, right? You're perpetually young. I continue to age.
Oh, you're so nice.
So I feel this, but it is this relentless march of age takes place. And we know as people age that that things change, right? Things change in health and perspective and so on and so forth. And so I think it's incumbent upon us to continue to focus on, particularly in this COVID environment, around some of the issues with respect to aging, ageism, isolationism, all of those things, to make sure that people are having the experience and, you know, the quality of life that they want.
You know, if I look back, let's say 5-10 years ago, we would talk to our clients. There was pretty much a split between them. Half would probably say, I want to age at home. Half would say, put me into a long-term care facility. As long as it has the type of care that I want,
right.
I'm good.
Yeah.
Fast forward to the pandemic and all the issues that have come out of it. We're hardly hearing long-term care facilities now as a choice for our clients, which is interesting, but also understanding
that
you know, this is what's changed. And so let's talk about all the issues that come when you're aging. One of course, is ageism.
Yep.
And this city that we live in Calgary is young comparisons to other cities across this country, demographically speaking.
Yep, yep.
So we may not have the insight of what's happening here versus other cities across the country when it comes to ageism, when it comes to isolation,
yep.
when it comes to the overall aging issue. And so let's talk about that and see what's happening here in town.
All right. We've got James Stotch, who is a director, Institute for Community Prosperity at Mount Royal University, joining us. James, welcome to the show.
Hi, Dave. Hi, Faisal.
You heard the setup. Let's talk a little bit about aging. I mean, clearly it is something that we hope everybody faces. If you don't face it, you know, the outcome was not good. So we all hope to face this issue of aging. But maybe you can give us your general take on what some of the, you know, the key issues people will face and experience as they do age.
Yeah, one of our students actually has a really wonderful turn of phrase. She said, you know, looking at ageism, we're all going to experience, as you say, growing older, or we'll die trying. And in a sense, you know, ageism is one of those last frontiers. You know, we don't recognize it in the same way we do with sexism or racism. And so we're just starting to kind of become more aware of it. But it's that notion of, as one of our students puts it, you're stigmatizing your future self. Because we're all going to experience it at some point. And so is there a way we can kind of get on top of it, recognize it early on, not just in its kind of like overt day-to-day forms, but really in more of an institutional or systemic setting?
Yeah, I think that's a really interesting point. Tell us, there's probably some unique aspects of aging in today's environment, right? Given the pandemic and whatnot. Maybe you can separate a little bit about what people should be thinking about. So if we're 65 today or 50 today, what should we be thinking about as we get into 75 and 85 generally? And then if there's anything that you and you know, your group academically are focused on as a result of the last 2 years of the pandemic.
Yeah, I mean, aging is what they call a global megatrend. It's happening everywhere. You know, Alberta, as you point out, is a bit younger than the rest of Canada. You know, it's only about 12% of our population right now in Alberta, over 65, compared with, say, Atlantic Canada, which is more like 20%. Alberta has a few interesting features. One of them is that we have one of the highest growing rates of senior citizens relative to the rest of the country. And we also have, along with Quebec, the highest number of seniors, about 40%, who are in long-term care or assisted living facilities. So we tend to have fewer seniors as a percentage in Alberta living independently, living on their own. They're much more likely to be in collective or institutional settings. You know, things, we see a real desire among seniors to keep working beyond the age of 65, you know, and an ability, an increased ability. You know, 65 is the new 55, right, in many ways. And so I think we'll see more and more of a push for recognition that retirement age really, you know, 65 is probably not realistic for most people. That said, it's actually really tough. You know, even once you hit sort of 50, 55, it gets much tougher in the workplace. There's a lot of embedded ageism in the workplace that researchers are now noticing as young as people in their early to mid 40s are now being shut out from positions that they normally would have just sort of naturally moved into. And that's creating a long periods of unemployment late in life. That's pretty disruptive for people. Also, you know, housing affordability. We see a lot of seniors who are carrying mortgages, long amortization periods, well past retirement age, and becoming over leveraged in that way. So sometimes it's not a choice to work. They're really forced to work. And the other thing is, you know, our retirement savings, although we have a really great income support system with Old Age Security and Canada Pension, and there will be some marginal increases to those over the next year or so. What we don't see is really good retirement savings behavior among Canadians. It's quite uneven. So some are saving lots for retirement and well prepared, but many are not at all. And so that unevenness is something that should concern us all. Once you hit about 75 years of age, you really start to see a lot of physical deterioration. That's mm-hmm. where the aging process really sets in a big way for most people. So, you know, the situation does change sort of beyond that kind of 75 age group. But we're also seeing this dynamic where those born in this century are more likely to have a life expectancy that's above 100, which is a huge shift. Because when you think of it right now, I mean, the oldest person on Earth is something like 119 years old. But we see a constantly increasing average life expectancy. It's about a third of a year every year. So doing the math, you know, if you're born in the year 2000, you're much more likely to live beyond 100. Than is the case with, say, boomers or Gen X.
James, when we look back at the workforce and many many people decided to want to go back to work or want to continue their careers in a province like Alberta has boom and bust, to get back into the workforce, like you said, is very challenging when it comes to the word ageism. But what are they really experiencing when it comes to the reasons why they're not being hired? Is it purely because of age? Or is it because of cost for a person with higher or more experience for an employer? It would be might cheaper to go to a younger employee versus a more experienced employee. Like, what are some of the factors or issues that, let's go on the employer side, that they're saying we're going to pick somebody else, and we'll use the word ageism just for a blanket. But what's the real reasons behind that word ageism?
Yeah, I mean, this is not something that I looked into in great depth. So with that qualifier, we do find that, it's just more expensive to typically somebody in their 40s and 50s typically commands a higher level of remuneration that is difficult for employers to carry, especially if that person isn't obviously demonstrating proficiency in some of the latest skills, right? Continually relearning in a tech environment, for example. There's also a fairly low level of investment in professional development and training of people in their 40s and 50s, we find across the board. So it is the case that employers are just saying, well, you know, I get more energy and enthusiasm, and what I miss in experience or wisdom, we'll find a workaround. We'll find a way and go with this 20-something person rather than hiring this person who's 45 or 55. So that is certainly a dynamic. But, many organizations could do a better job of making the case that actually people who are aging bring a lot of assets that are maybe under-recognized. There's a lot of wisdom, a lot of judgment, a lot of experience that may be under-accounted for or under-recognized.
James, we're going to have to leave it there. I agree with your with many of the things you said, and I think, again, you bring a perspective to the conversation that we need to continue to have. And we need to respect the fact that we are all aging, right? This is we're going into this phase, whether we like it or not. So this is going to be an important part of the conversation. Thank you very much for your input.
Thank you.
We've been joined by James Stotch, who's the director, Institute for Community Prosperity at Mount Royal University.
So we're going to bring him back on the second segment as well, too, right after the break, because we want to talk to James about you know, the pandemic really changed long-term care facilities. And let's talk about that issue and isolation and so forth. So, James, don't leave yet. We're going to come back after the break. But for people who are looking at long-term care facilities or home care, need to figure out how they're going to afford everything.
Right.
Where's the money going to come from? And as James was mentioning, we're living longer and longer. And so if we're living longer, how does your money last for the long term? This is a mathematical problem that we might even have a solution for those who are looking to bulletproof their retirement. We're going to talk about that on Tuesday, January 18th, 7 p.m., live online. You need to register for this. Go to morethanmoneyradio.com. That's morethanmoneyradio.com to register.
All right, stick around after the break because we're going to be discussing the long-term care and the caregivers here on 770 CHQR and More Than Money.